Welcome to Pitch It to the Limit, a podcast where you explore what it takes to run software in production successfully. We cover leading practices used in the software industry to improve both systems' reliability and the lives of people supporting those systems. I'm your host, Tiago Barbosa, and you can find me on Twitter at Tiago B, using the number one for the letter I. Okay, hello, Andrea. Welcome to Pitch It to the Limit. You are episode, I think, like 110. And so welcome to the show. Thank you so much for accepting the challenge. For people that don't know you yet, can you tell us a bit more about your role and a bit of your experience? That would be great.
Sure thing. Hello, Tiago. Thanks for having me here. Thanks for the invitation. I'm Andrea at Adidas. So I work at Adidas as leading our SRE, site reliability engineering and operations team. I take care of the whole team that is responsible for the e-commerce platform. So we have team members all around the globe to make sure that we cover 24/7 everything, our e-commerce platform. A bit about me, I started with ALM when we called it that, application lifecycle management, when I worked with Tiago back in the days. So things started moving, evolving, and today I'm leading the SRE team, where I'm quite happy with.
Cool. That's a very good evolution from, as you said, we worked in the past together. And yeah, it's really nice to see your career changes and the evolution that you made. So that's great to see. Just out of curiosity, how many people does the e-commerce team have? The SRE team that's basically handles e-commerce. Do you have an idea?
Yeah, when you asked how many people, I thought how many people in the whole team. So that would be a big number. But in the SRE team, we have 66 internals. So in my DataX team, this is the amount of people. And we have it covered from different locations. So we have tech hubs in India, we have in Europe, in Saragossa, Amsterdam, Herzogenaurach here in Germany, where I'm based. And we also have people in Bogota. So we kind of follow the sun to ensure a smooth transition.
Yeah, cool. So one of the things that I would like to ask you, and this is like a big question, I know, but one of the things that I've seen while talking to different customers in different companies is that for many customers, like the SRE teams are kind of established already. They have their processes, they have the way of working and providing capabilities to other teams in many cases. Others are like more in early stages. They are just starting to figure out, they are starting to build these teams, these capabilities inside of the team. And can you share a bit about like the journey that you are currently going through?
We started the SRE journey, I mean, DevOps journey. When I started, it was 7 years back. We were moving on DevOps transformation, and then there was a clear need to get closer to operations. So we all, at the beginning, we had clear separation, what is development, what is operation. And then at that moment in time, we're like, we need to be closer. So we need to be faster. We need to collaborate better. We had some releases that were taking like a day and every 6 weeks. So it was not really manageable. So we started the SRE journey three, four years ago. We started in the core of our systems, where we have the whole checkout and payments processes, where it's for us one of the major contributors, of course, and the most critical components that we have. So we started with the embedded mode, as we call. So the SRE's engineers, the very strong engineers being part of the product teams. So we have developers, we have QAs, we have SREs. The SREs focusing on the observability, resilience, and to make sure that before we go live or before any change is released, we already have this flavor of stability mindset. And then we grew and we were growing to the embedded mode as a default mode, right? So we really needed to bring all the areas to the stability. And it became each product team has some SREs assigned to. And what we are moving towards to now is to have a foundations team. So instead of only embedded, we need to have embedded where we need, but we also need to have foundations, as you said before, right? Having SREs enabling the teams. Some teams don't need SREs. Some teams just need SREs to enable them, and then we can move back and focus on where we need to focus. And that's where, so we started, our evolution was embedded, bringing stability, and now we are moving towards to let's not have embedded everywhere, but where we need. And also let's have a foundations to make sure that we have standards as much as possible, that we can replicate what is working as much as possible.
Yeah, I think part of the job of an SRE like you is kind of identify the places where things can be optimized because, well, your customers are typically internal customers, right? The different teams that you are kind of supporting, and there's always space for improvement independent of like tools and processes that you are using. So that's good to see.
Our customers, they are internal, but we also work directly with the end consumer, right? So if you go to our Adidas website and if something goes wrong, there is probably an incident that will be my cue, right? So that's something that this direct to consumer is super important, that we get direct feedback of what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And it's really impactful if something goes for a brand like or a company like Adidas, is if something goes down, it's not only the potentially in an e-commerce platform, it's not only the money that you are losing, but it's also reputational damage that the brand faces, right? Yeah, cool. So one thing that I am curious about, and I don't know if you can share a lot about this, but one of the things that I'm curious about is, what were the challenges that you faced that is kind of pushing you to move away from the current like SREs being embedded in teams to the next or the evolution of that? So what were the like the main challenges that you identified or limitations that you identified that are kind of pushing you in this direction? Is it because software? So you are changing the way that you build software, or is it some integration? What led to this?
Yeah, so there are a couple of reasons. But when we started, we wanted to make sure that every area had a right attention. And we reached into a point that some areas are super, super stable. And where we have other areas where we are moving to a transformation from monolithic to microservices, where many, many changes are happening in those areas. And it's where we need from the beginning to have the right people focusing on stability, right? So the whole purpose of changing slightly the operating model is to make sure we have flexibility to move capacity, to move the focus where we need the most. Giving some examples, that is when we talk about monolithics, there are a lot of cons, but the pro is that it's one big thing, right? So it's like you make a request, you get a response for that big thing. When it comes to microservice, if you see from the SRE angle, something that was done in one request, now you're going to have 12 requests with different responses. And then it can be super challenging. This is one of the main challenges we currently have in this whole change of architecture, that small things that previously we were not really looking for or checking in details, like are all the status codes standardized? So are we to cover this flow? Did we review if we have the logging standards all in place to make sure that every application has all the information we need? We also need to think about tracing, right? Because multiple microservices, do we have the right tooling to provide this tracing? Do we need something else? We have a platform engineering team and we are working close to them. How can we have capabilities that we didn't have before because we didn't need before, right? So the more we move to microservices, the more we need. But in terms of stability, in terms of observability especially, there is a big complexity that comes with microservices that we cannot deny. So it's currently, this is our main challenge, but we are moving. And that's the whole purpose of having flexibility to bring the best to where we need the most and make sure that we start on the right foot.
That's critical, of course. And one thing that you mentioned is that you have a platform engineering team. I do believe like having the SR team basically, because you and your team, you are the ones that basically need to make sure that reliability is there. You need to, you know, the standards that you would like to see implemented, right? And typically platform engineering teams are the ones that create typically a bunch of assets. It might be like, as you said, tracing SDK or anything from an observability perspective that will allow developers to easily implement best practices. So you as a company can standardize on like the HTTP status that you mentioned, but many other things that will allow you to easily collect the information that you can work from. And for developers, of course, you have basically the same way of working across all microservices. So that's this is how you typically work, right, Tor?
Yeah, absolutely. So the SRE is the bridge from the platform and development, right? So we are kind of in the middle, not only observability, but all CI/CD, for example. So all the pipelines, all the infra that we deploy, the more that we collaborate with platform, the better and easier that our job is with the application. So we can focus on really on the application side and everything that is underneath we have covered, which is a super handy, right? So we have multiple teams providing all the platforms that we can plug and use. That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely. So, Andrea, one thing that I would like to ask you is, based on the dimension of a company like Adidas and the number of customers that I assume that you have, so we are talking about something that, a platform that runs at a very large scale, right? And so one of the events that I can remember that might be like one of your top events happening or one of the critical times for your team specifically is something like Cyber Week, right? Is this like your main event? Is this like one of your main events in what you do to prepare for a Cyber Week?
Yeah, definitely. I think the whole e-commerce industry, Cyber Week is one of the biggest events. So I think each company has its own waves of events and what come and what not. But Cyber Week is definitely one of the biggest ones. And we use it to have something like holiday readiness, but we are moving towards to always ready. So because we never know. If you see last year, the industry, they preponed some of the sales, right? So not everyone went on Black Friday or Cyber Monday, but they did before a lot of campaigns. And the more that we see this behavior, the more ready that we need to be, right? So we are moving towards to be always ready. So how can we use, leverage HPA, so horizontal pod auto-scaling? How can we leverage the whole auto-scaling capabilities that we have to be ready? But indeed, Cyber Week is a big deal. It's a big thing. And we need to make sure that we are ready. A lot of load testing, a lot of collaboration, because any company that has the dimension as we have multiple teams. And to have one customer, so for you to go and add an item to your basket and purchase something, there are multiple teams behind the scenes, right? Making sure that the whole collaboration works, making sure that we align with the markets and make sure that everything is ready is a big deal. Having the platform ready, working on outscaling, it's something that we do target.
Cool. And one thing that also on that topic, because you are kind of building this e-commerce platform, and this might be my personal perspective or maybe not, where typically e-commerce platforms have a lot of integrations, some of them built internally, others built externally. And the way that you handle reliability internally and externally might be slightly different. Is that the case for Adidas? And if so, what are you doing to prepare for that as well?
No, absolutely. And I think this is one of our main focus. We obviously have third parties. We obviously have those hard ones. If they fail, we have bigger problems. If there are some that if they fail, we can fall back. That is no big deal. But a big focus for the SRE team, for my team today, is how can we be resilient to our third parties, especially for those that break our main flows, customer flows, mapping and understanding what is blocking, and can we have a fallback? Can we have degraded service? Can we have a circuit breaker? So can we do it automatically? Shall we do it via feature flag that someone needs to click a button, right? That's a big topic that's going on. And when linking to the previous question on Cyber Week, during Cyber Week is not only Adidas, right? It's worldwide, all the companies. And if you see the providers, they are also under a lot of stress. So we need to make sure that we are ready because something might fail. And that's the rule number one. Something might fail. The thing is how we can handle those failures and which of them will break our flow. As long as we can mitigate as much as possible, we are in a good shape. So the focus for my team, long story short, is to ensure that we know the critical flows, we know the critical dependencies, and we have a mitigation in plan, be it something manually, be it something automated, but how can we be resilient in our ecosystem?
Yeah. Now that you bring a very, very good point, which is the fact that, well, you are probably running some cloud provider somewhere, but your third-party providers are most certainly also running in a cloud provider somewhere. And we know that cloud providers also fail. There's outages. There's all of these things that we need to account for. So it's not only the software that we are building, but all the infrastructure. That's a very good point. And that leads me to one of my last questions, which is actually, when something goes wrong, right, there's an incident, and basically, how do you handle that? Is a separate team that manages this? Does it go directly to the SRE team? And what is typically the process that you have, if you can share a little bit?
One thing that I'm linking to the very beginning when I explained it, that our systems are direct to consumer, right? So we take care of a platform that is available to end users globally. It's always midnight somewhere. And there is always someone trying to buy something. So whenever we have our prioritization metrics, so we have our level of incidents, P1s, P2s, P3s, defined very well what qualifies for a P1, P2, P3 in our critical flows. So we have a team, horizontal team of service managers that I'm very proud of. This team puts all the processes in places, and one of them is the incident and problem management. So being direct to the customer, we need to be very fast in reaction. So we have a ticketing system that tickets can be created by users, can be created by alerts. And whenever an alert or a P1 is created, we immediately have someone that receives the call out that this is created. You need to have a look and evaluate if it's indeed a P1 or not, qualified as a P1. So we have a process defined where we can create a bridge call. And in this bridge call is where we have an incident commander that is making sure that we have the right people in the call and also making sure that whoever is not needed can leave the call. So we don't want to have too many people in the call. And then this incident commander is the one bringing people in and people out to make sure that we mitigate the problem. And the same person that is doing this commander figure is also sending updates via emails okay. and chats, right? And whenever we close, so it's mitigated, we close the call, of course, and afterwards we have a post-mortem to understand the root cause analysis, what happened, and the action plan. That's the most important, right? So things will go wrong. When things go wrong, we need to ensure that we know what happened, that we take actions. And usually those actions will be backlog items for the product teams. The SRE teams will obviously be a big part of it. And then we close the loop. So if something happens, it shouldn't be the same thing that happened before, right? And the same process flows.
Yeah, exactly. Now that's really good to see. So one of the things that I see in my conversations with some customers that are like PagerDuty customers is they handle like all the incidents response side of things. They have like automation to kind of help them figure out the problems quickly and all that. But then the last step that you mentioned around like running the postmortem and learning from the problem and improving based on that is something that I don't see implemented everywhere. And I know that sometimes is a process that, well, takes some time, requires a lot of people to join a meeting to discuss problem and the solution, the possible solutions. But in the end, I do agree that this is probably the most important part of incident management and incident response, which is like, okay, let's make sure that this doesn't happen again, like you mentioned.
Absolutely. I think that the incident and the whole incident and problem management only closes when we have the root cause analysis, all the action items, and when we actually close the problem. So if it happens again, it's too bad, right?
Yeah, definitely.
We need to learn from all the big failures.
Yeah. One thing that I wanted to ask you still on this topic is, you mentioned that the service management team, they have like a really important role in this incident management process. Are they part of your team as well? Or are they like a separate team and they have people with like expertise or specialized in different parts of your e-commerce platform, or they are more generic, let's say?
No, they are part of my team. And that's where we could really focus and bring the maturity that we have today. So they are part of the team. They attend our leadership calls. And I mean, they work closer to all the SRE leads, because afterwards on postmortems, we have action items. Those action items are things that we also track, right? So it's something that sales management team also helps to keep pushing. Let's make sure that this is done. But in a nutshell, they are part of the team and they play a major role.
Yeah, it's important to have someone that's like whose responsibility is to like make sure that we follow the processes like end to end, and that all the feedback we collect goes back into the backlog, so we can always improve. That's great to see. So Andrea, this is all I had for questions on kind of understanding how SRE works in Adidas, in a company like global company with a lot of exposure to customers.
Thanks for the time. Thanks for the questions. And I think the SRE is always maturing, right? So as we started with DevOps, now we have the SRE implementing those practices, right? We are always evolving. We are always learning. And I'm really confident that now moving towards to having foundational team members will bring us to the next level. Let's put it this way. And I hope that everybody that is watching also see that Adidas is super stable. So...
Yeah, I do agree. I'm a customer myself, and I love the brand, and my experience with the platform has been very good so far. So Andrea, once again, thank you so much for joining us today. All the best in your job at Adidas, and I hope you can kind of smoothly move to the next step, as you said. All the best, and once again, thank you so much for joining us and sharing a bit of your knowledge and experience with us. That does it for another installment of Pager to the Limit. We'd like to thank our sponsor PagerDuty for making this podcast possible. Remember to subscribe to this podcast if you like what you've heard. You can find our show notes at pagertothelimit.com, and you can reach us on Twitter at pagertothelimit using the number 2. That's at pagert to the limit. Let us know what you think of the show, and thank you so much for joining us. And remember, uneventful days are beautiful days.